Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, just sitting here on a special Monday night edition of UWC Radio, United Wrestling Council. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. They're making a concerted effort to get everything up on there, so make sure you check it out. Usually we're here every Sunday from 7 to 8:30, but I was working last night, so we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. So we had to have a special Monday edition on. But before we get to that, I'm sorry, I was falling asleep before we went on here because I'm watching Raw, and it is the most god-awful boring. It's the same wrestlers doing the same crap every day. I almost stopped breathing last week when they finally put Garza and Humberto Carrillo together, because I knew that was going to – I'm just waiting to see if they're going to put them against the Lucha House Party, because that'll blow the roof off the whole thing. But I'm pretty sure they won't, because they don't want to do that. So just watching Matt Riddle against AJ Styles, and oh my goodness, if that match, probably seen it 40 times. Hold on, let me take a quick drink. So anyways, hopefully I'll be able to stay awake, even though I have this on, because there's always a slight glimmer of hope that I'm going to see a good match or whatever. So, and again, I've talked about this before on my other show and different podcast or whatever that I've done. You know, please let Akira Tozawa go. Free that man. Him and Johnny Morrison. Those two guys, please let them go. I just want them to be out of there, because he had to put over that big, I can't remember, big old heavy set dude that came out of NXT, when he had to put him over today, and it's just like such a waste of talent. But you know, I don't want to get started on that, because it'll ran on forever. But anyways, big show coming up today. I had to get the show on today. I was talking with Manny earlier because the wheels are in motion. It's the big end-all to be-all go-home finals for the Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament. Great show, and it turned out to be a little bit better. It took us a while to get everything, what's the word I'm looking for, secured down and ready to go, and just last-minute stuff. You know, there was three shows going on that same day, so a couple of guys were doing double duty. So, you know, they're like, hey, bro, can we do this? And then, you know, a couple people dropped out. We had to mix and match and put a few different people in and all that, but we ended up getting it all together, and it came out really well. So the first match, I had to put them first match because they had to do double duty, was Vito Fratelli and Robbie Phoenix against Sean Black and Tony Race. So I only got to catch the tail end of that match, but, you know, of course, I know when we had that much bigness, for lack of a better term, in the ring, I knew it was going to be hard-hitting, and it turned out to be great. And to be honest with you, we're going to talk a little bit about this when we get him on, because we got Sean Black coming up in about 10 minutes or so. They thought for sure Vito and Robbie were going to go all the way. You know, they thought it was going to be Vito maybe having to go against his partner, who he's tag team champions with, the Lucha Libre Alliance or whatever. But Tony Race and Sean Black pulled it out. I had to bring in Sean Black because Biggie Biggs, who's part of the Heavy Hitters, wasn't able to make it. I'm pretty sure he's healed up from his injuries, because he's been working, you know, a couple other venues and stuff like that. So I don't know if we'll bring him back. But since he couldn't make it, I put Sean in there, and they won. They're going to continue on to the finals now. So they will meet, Sean Black and Tony Reyes will meet La Flecha Fugaz and Gayam in the finals, because La Flecha Fugaz and Gayam were victorious over Drew Masters and Cuisital Coatele. So that turned out to be like the surprise of, you know, first of all, people couldn't believe that Drew Masters and Cuisital made it all the way to the semifinals, which you never know what's going to happen in this business. So it turned out really well. So I'll have two of the participants on today. I got Sean Black coming up first. We'll talk to him a little bit about that, about moving on and going to the finals of the first ever Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament, and to face Guyam and Fletch Fugaz. I don't know if they've, you know, ever met before or wrestled each other. I think this is going to be the first time they've ever wrestled each other. So that makes for very interesting, you know, interesting matchup. And I'll have, at about the 45-minute mark, La Flecha Fugaz come on, who I don't want to say, so what I'm looking for, I don't want to say I knew they were going to make it, but that team, when we sat down and put this tournament together, when Manny and I were talking, I said, you know, Guyam and Fletch been going at it for a long time, but together, those guys, you know, you get the whole, like, total package. You got the experience, you got the size with La Flecha Fugaz, and then you've got Guyam with the experience and, you know, wrestling everyone in different styles and it can adapt or whatever. So they were pretty much the favorites going in. So it's just the way the tournament turned out. It ended up to be really a big surprise and a lot of different matchups, and it turned out to be really good. So the end all to be all is going to be Sunday, November 21st. At 2 p.m., it's going to be back at Metroflex Gym, but Metroflex Gym is moving to Hawaiian Gardens, which is not too far from where the old gym was in Long Beach. So that's already set to go. So it's going to be Sunday, November 21st at 2 o'clock, the main event for the first annual Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament will be La Flecha Fugaz and Guyam versus Sean Black and Tony Reyes. Now, not only that, but just today I was talking to Manny, and he said that, you know, Pistol Pete and Mondo Guerrero worked a lot. He was married to him for a while. They worked a lot of matches going all over the SoCal area, like Bakersfield, you know, Pomona and all that back in the day. So, you know, when all this went down, Mondo's like, hey, man, I really would like to come down and check out the show, and I, you know, would like to be a part of it. And we're like, look, why don't we get you to come down to the big, you know, the big end-all, be-all, you know, finals, and the winner will be the champion. Was like, absolutely, I definitely want to come down and check that out. So he's going to come down. I talked to Pistol Pete Jr. He said, man, I would love to present that trophy with Mondo to the winners, and I think that would be great. So Mondo Guerrero confirmed today with Manny that he will be there. So he's going to come with Pistol Pete Jr. to present that trophy. So I think that's pretty cool. I think it's going to be slamming. That whole event is going to be slamming. We're putting together the undercard as we speak. And we'll get that out as soon as possible as we get, you know, as we go along or whatever. You can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out the information on there, or you can go on our social media for the United Wrestling Council. I'll make sure I get those, I think, because I'm not too sure if it's UWC or United Wrestling Council if you go on social media. So I'll get that information from Manny and make sure he checks that out. So the show, absolutely, too. You know, Paul's Photo, who's a big sponsor and supporter of the UWC, he came out. He brought some of his professional photographers. They took some pretty cool pictures of the event. I know he's called me and said he wants to send them to whoever runs the website, so they could put all those pictures and everything up on the website so you can check out the photos on there. I don't know if they're up right now. I haven't checked, to be honest, because I've been so busy. So they might be up now. If not, we will let everybody know when all those pictures will come up, because Paul took a ton of photos, really cool different angles of lighting and stuff like that with his, I don't want to say students, because I think a lot of them graduated, but some of his professionals. So you could check those out. So we definitely look forward to that. It was, you know, top to bottom, really good, you know, because we started off with Vito and Robbie against Sean Black and Tony Reyes, and then just progressed from there. A lot of people have been asking me about Super Nino. What happened was he had a previous injury. I guess it was not so much a twist, but like a tendon pull or whatever in the right lower side of his back. So he was a little bit sore, but he was able to wrestle. But what happened was he I didn't get to see it, but this is what they're telling me. He took a flip or something like that, and the way he landed, it knocked all the air out of him, and he couldn't, you know, for the people who had that happen to them before, he couldn't breathe or whatever. So they kind of got him out of there, and it took him a minute to recuperate and get himself together, but he did. So he's good. As a matter of fact, he'll definitely be on the next show, get him all taken care of and stuff, so you guys can see Super Nino, because I didn't get to see too much of him on that day or whatever. So Red Spider Rudo, Super Nino, definitely will be back with us to work another match. It was good to see Rayo de Plata, who I haven't seen in literally 20 years. You know, we talked and he's like, hey man, you know, I'd like to check out these. I'm like, dude, come down. I'll definitely put you on, man. So that's when we talk about different matchups. That was because it was Malice, Rayo de Plata, and Red Spider against Uncle Chaz Jaguar de Oro and Super Nino. So that was a real totally different matchup or whatever. So everybody went home happy. So we definitely had Ruben Iglesias, Helmut Rosenkranz. They went over on Guy Kuhl and Jason Green. So it went really well. So, and of course, our match against the Commandos, you know, we ended up taking the victory, 1,000% knockout. Nicolette gave one of the Commandos a spear. I hit him with a splash, and we went home happy. But for some reason, Mr. California wants to do a death match with me. That's what he's talking about. I told him I'd do it as long as he comes in just a pair of trunks, just a pair of black trunks. No knee pads, no shoes, no socks, no shirt, just straight like that. So we'll see if he accepts that challenge or whatever. We'll keep everybody posted. But anyways, with all that being said, it's set. You know, we got the two finalists for the finals of the tournament, and that's looking to be really good. And like I said, we'll keep everybody up to date on that. Don't forget, for the people listening, it's going to be Sunday. It's UWC presents the finals Sunday, November 21st at 2 p.m. It's going to be at the new Metroplex Gym in Hawaiian Gardens. So we'll keep everybody up to date on that as we progress. So let me go ahead and take a break. We'll give some props to our sponsors, and then we'll come back with Sean Black. Hang on, everybody. Couldn't find my microphone. For the people listeners, you're here. You're back at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. And, of course, if you want to check out our great sponsors, don't forget to check out Paul's Photo. Far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos to video, Paul's Photos will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Got to give props to them as well as Yards After Contact. Got to check out Yards After Contact, apparel, clothing brand, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Go to their Facebook page to check out some really cool pictures, especially the UWC custom cornhole boards, as well as UWC t-shirts and golf shirts modeled by our own owner and proprietor of the UWC, Manny Pinson. Yards After Contact is your number one source for apparel and custom cornhole boards. Check it out and get your stuff today. As if I put stuff here, but get your apparel and custom cornhole boards and everything from them today. Yards After Contact is a proud sponsor of UWC Radio. So make sure you check it out. It was pretty cool. So let me shoot Sean Black a text real quick, let him know that we're going to call him. He's got stuff going on, too, with his Amped Up and his Compton Mania and stuff like that. He's also got something called looks like Unicon or whatever. So we'll have to ask him a little bit about that. I've worked a couple of his shows, and they were pretty cool. They get a pretty big crowd. I got to be honest, I was surprised. So let me take a sip, and we'll give him a call. Sorry about that. Man, he's like, man, what are you sipping on the air or whatever? So I got to do what I got to do. So, yeah, I was hoping to see this matchup, too, because they got Charlotte Wrestling Dewdrop, and I missed it doing the sponsor. So I would have liked to have seen that because I love me some Dewdrop. And Eva Marie's okay. She got a little bit going on.
Hello?
Hey, Sean Black, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, sir. We in the building.
Good. Real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out all the latest information. We're going to try to upload as much stuff up there as soon as possible, so make sure you check that out. And it's a special Monday night edition. You know, it's usually on Sunday, but I couldn't make it, so we're here on Monday. But on the line with us right now, one of the participants who's going to be in the finals for the Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament, Sean Black. Sean, how are you, my friend?
Good, G. Everything's
good. Dude, I got to be honest with you real quick. Let me take a sip. Sorry about that. But, you know, what happened was is Sean was on the first show. Him and Jason Green had a match. And they came up a little bit short. But then, you know, the heavy hitters, they ended up winning their match. But Biggie, which happens a lot in the business, Sean, as you know, people get injured or whatever. They can't make it. So when we, you know, said, hey, well, what are we going to do? I told Manny, I'm telling you right now, you put Sean Black in there, that's going to be a match and a half because, you know, they just the size and the way these guys move, they're going to be able to really do some damage. And Sean has gotten himself in shape. You know, he's really making a concerted effort, you know, to start making some moves. And he said, let's do it. It wasn't even a question. He said, let's do it. But, Sean, I got to tell you, I got a lot of emails and a lot of messages and stuff like that. So there's no way that Sean Black and Tony Reyes are going to go over on Vito and Robbie Phoenix. Too much experience. Vito's got 15 belts, blah, 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 whatever. But you guys did it. So, you know, I only got to see the tail end of the match. So real quick before we talk about advancing to the finals, tell me a little bit of how that match, how it played out. You know, did you guys just, you know, was it back and forth? Did you just come out and totally dominate? Or take us through that match.
Well, actually, Robbie was one of my trainers, and so mm-hmm. I had just a little bit of expertise. He saw some of that chain wrestling. He took me down memory lane, and I knew what I was getting into. And Vito is just a powerhouse, you know. And like I said, you know, all I need Tony to do is, when the time is right, get the squashing on him.
Yeah.
If he can land on him and squat on him and get on that 1, 2, 3, we're good. But at the same time, you know, Tony's a big guy, so he's hard to take down. So it all worked out for our favor, you know. Since I'm a little bit lighter again, I was able to hang with Robbie, a little bit lucha with Robbie. And then once Tony came in, he came in and he dominated. So we had just the kind of the best of both worlds. We had the heavy hitting of Tony Reyes and my technique with Sean Black, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, when the match was over, you know, you guys, I said, hey, make sure you guys hang around because whoever wins the other semifinal, we want to make sure we get a picture with everybody with the trophy and everything like because all of Pete's family and everybody was there. But I could hear, you know, a little bit of back and forth. You know, I could hear Guyam going, man, you guys don't have a chance. We got too much experience. You guys would look, you guys are in for a fight. And you just don't know what you're getting into. Blah, 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 whatever, right? But when I was talking to La Flecha Fugaz, who I have coming on at about the 7:45 mark, he said, I am telling you this. I'm like, dude, you know, Tony's a big dude, man. You know, you got to, because it seems like he's kind of setting him up, and then you know, Sean's setting him up, and Tony's knocking him down. He goes, I will tell you this right now. I will lift Tony Reyes over my head, and I'm like, Like a press, like a over. No. He goes, I'm telling you, I will get him up, and I will take him down. And you're gonna see, it's gonna be on or whatever. So, I mean, they're like pumped, looking forward to this match. And now you guys, I mean, this is huge. It was announced today that Mondo Guerrero, you know, when he heard all about this tournament, because him and Pistol Pete used to be married to each other for years. They used to wrestle all over Bakersfield, like Pomona, all over the place. He said, hey, man, I would really like to be a part of that. And I'm like, absolutely. So now whoever wins this tournament, it's going to be Pete Jr. and Mondo Guerrero presenting that trophy. So I'm like, it's starting to get a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. A lot of people are more interested. And this matchup made it even more interesting because, first of all, for what reason, I don't know, people did think they thought it was going to be Vito and Robbie. So I don't want to say that you guys are the underdogs because I don't feel that way. But have you ever wrestled – I don't think you've ever wrestled against Fletch Fugaz, but what about Guyam? Is this the first time matchup?
Well, no, I can't go down memory lane exactly. Cause, shout out because this is my 11th year in the biz. Turn up. And I used to wrestle a lot over at Lucha Pro over in L.A. And I had a match. I think it was a tag or a four-way with Tyam.
Okay.
And we've done shows together for years, but I think that was the only time we've been in the ring together.
Yeah.
And
So you kind of know what to expect, right?
Yeah, yeah. And same with Fletcher. We just never, you know, this is our first time in the ring together. So
yeah, yeah. So see, that's what all the buzz is. That's a different matchup. People are looking forward to seeing that. So we definitely look forward to checking that out. There's a lot of buzz already. It took us a minute to get the date solidified because Metroflex is moving over to Hawaiian Gardens, which is not too far from there, but the place is a lot bigger, a lot more room, you know, and just the whole setup is a lot different. But real quick for the people listening to us, it kind of explain Metroflex, Jim, because the word hardcore sounds kind of silly or whatever, but I'm trying to – the atmosphere there is so – well, a lot of people call it like the Gold's Gym Venice of Long Beach or whatever, but kind of explain that vibe. It's not – I don't want to say hardcore, but it just seems like a whole – like you're serious, like there's serious work going on there, right?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of metal. Less, you know, you go to 24, they give you the little softer taste. They do got it, but hardcore training is, they got everything you need. It ain't no yoga. It ain't no Pilates. It's going there. You go to work. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with yoga and Pilates, but if this is straight, if you want to work, if you want to work out, you want to be strong, then strong. Yeah, that's one of those gyms that you go to, you know.
Yeah, because it seems like it accommodates not only like weightlifters and bodybuilders, but like power lifters, or if you're in the strongman competition, they got those, they had to move them to the side, but those big boulders that you pick up or whatever. So it's really, you know, serious. And now with them moving over to Hawaiian Gardens, not only are they going to have all that equipment, they're going to have the cage set up for MMA and a spot for the ring to do shows over there. So it's just kind of showing how big the independent wrestling scene is starting to get. You know what I mean? So it's really cool. Now, real quick, Sean, I want to talk about, I got to take a break, but I want to talk real quick about this. Can you tell me a little bit about this Unicon? I was checking this since October 1st through the 3rd at the Versus Pro Studio. I saw your picture on that. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on with that?
Man, it's going down in Vegas, the Las Vegas Convention Center. Unicon is another big traveling comic convention. Obviously, you know, Comic-Con is like the biggest, but I think
right.
This one's coming up. And if you go to the Unicon, if you want to check it out on the Unicon Instagram, you can see who's all going to be there. And it's going to be a big thing, comic book, sports, wrestling, anime. It's just one of those big things, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
So will you be representing just Sean Black, or will you be representing Amped Up Wrestling and Compton Mania and all that?
Well, I take that everywhere I go. No, just I'll be wrestling all 3 days. So it's going to be a sore weekend, but we're going to have some fun in Vegas, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, dude, I couldn't even fathom wrestling all 3 days because I'd be dead, especially at my age. But real quick, Sean, I just got to take a quick break just to reset, and then I just got a couple of questions. Can you hang on for just like another 5 minutes on the air with
me? Yes, I'll be here.
Okay, let me take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. Fabi Chulo here for UWC. We're hanging with Sean Black, talking a little bit about, you know, his big Unicon that he has coming up over in Las Vegas. That's going to be October 1st through the 3rd. So if you just put Sean Black in your little search engine or whatever for Facebook or whatever, he comes up, and then he can keep you posted on there so you can kind of check out what that's all about. But real quick, Sean, there's a couple things I want to go ask you real quick. First of all, I got a lot of slack You know, I got a lot of, because, you know, I do a couple of shows, a couple of podcasts. And on my other show, I talked about, let's put it this way. I used to be a big fan of Adam Cole. I thought it was cool. I thought the way everybody went, Adam Cole, baby. No, I thought that was cool. But where he ruined it for me is when he got in the ring. I get it. You know, you're trying to be a heel and you're trying to, you know, get over as a heel. But when he pushed Tony Schiavone and he told him, you know, if you ever talk about my woman again, I'll beat you up and I'll kick your ass and all this stuff. I didn't like that. I first of all, I don't think you need to do that to get over as a heel. And then in the world that we live in today, because, you know, I have kids and all that, and I don't like that bullying, and I don't like that persona. I don't like that. I just don't. And I'm not a fan of his anymore. I just didn't like it. You know, I just didn't like that. And it's the same with MJF or whatever, you know, flipping people off and talking about people's families, you know, telling Brian Pillman that, you know, his mother was a drug addict. I just don't think that there's a spot in that for wrestling. So I got both criticisms. Hey, man, sometimes it has to be done to draw heat or whatever. Me personally, I think you can do it without doing that. So give me your thoughts on that. Am I wrong, or you think there's a place for that?
I think some guys really want to relive the Attitude Era.
Uh-huh.
And that, because that would have been a fun era to, not even Attitude, the ECW, the Shock Value era of pro wrestling. To draw the line of kayfabe and things like that. Me personally, you know, I can't judge. I don't want to judge too much because I'm real, and I don't like how certain reps act like they're holier than thou in pro wrestling, because we've all done the same mistakes. We've all been through different characters, different gimmicks and things like that. But however, you know, I think it's the fan base. You know, I think it's just that the AEW fans, is that it's that indie, that they got to look at the scoop. Everything has to be over the internet. It's that, you know, every match, everybody's Dave Meltzer in the crowd, 75,000 Dave Meltzers. They got to judge everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm still a fan of some good old wrestling. You know, it really sucks that the dirt sheets, you know, back in the days we didn't have them. But now, like, you know, nobody can just pop up on wrestling. And there's no shock value. There's no, you know, we all knew Adam Cole's come. We all knew Daniel Bryan's come. We all knew CM Punk.
Well,
but
let's put it this way. I mean, because I worked one of your shows. And, you know, with the kids that you work with and stuff like that, it was – what's his name that wrestled for you? The guy that's kind of thin and he's got a bald head and he puts the makeup on and he wears the – what's his name? God darn, it plays like a kind of like a scary character or whatever. You'll remember who I'm talking about when we say this, because, you know, we have a meeting to tell him, hey, you know, stay safe. I don't want to pull the curtain back too much or whatever.
But Funny Bone.
Funny Bone, exactly. He said, hey, man – you know, get your heat or whatever, but don't insult these kids. Don't, you know, do I have kids? And everybody's like, yeah, you know, we don't want, you know, we can't go out there and go tell these kids such and such or whatever, because we don't want to leave a bad mark. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of feeling I get. So that's kind of the way you do your shows, right? Hey, man, get your heat and all that, but just don't cross that line.
Yeah. And then we have a different type. Like I said, our fans, a lot of them, it's their first shows ever. Like, we're doing shows in the hood, like straight up in the hood. So they're not, they don't look for five stars. They don't look for 30-minute Iron Man. They are just happy to see body slams and things like that.
Yeah, I agree. So that's the point I'm trying to make. I caught a lot of heat for that, but I just maybe because I'm older or whatever, but I just think there's a certain line you don't cross, especially, you know, you don't want that. Sometimes you don't want that out there. So that's one thing. And the other thing which I get, not so much that I got a lot of heat, but I got a lot of feedback from, you know, somebody posted that, you know, nobody work for $25. You're worth more than that or whatever. And, you know, Manny and I were talking about that, and I'm saying, hey, you know, I get it. You know, we try to get the wrestlers as much as we can to pay them. But I've always been like this, because I've always worked a full-time job. I never, you know, I'm not going to come work for free, you know, or whatever. I mean, you could, you know, because we all, would like to get gas money or something, some money to eat afterwards or whatever. But if you're working towards something, like, let's put it this way, whenever, for Martin, honestly, I never worried about the pay. He would give me something, but I would say, man, if you could just, when you bring these guys from Mexico, give me a shot, you know, with working with them. I'll work up towards it or whatever. And he did. He came through, you know. So I never had a problem with it, with getting paid. But now it seems like these guys are like, look, man, I need 50 bucks and that's that. I don't care how good I am or how bad I am or what I'm working to. This is what I want or whatever. So sometimes, you know, the promoter can't, I don't want to promise you $50 and I can't give that to you, you know, or whatever, because I don't have it, because I like to make sure we have all the money up front before the show. So, you know, I'm like, but if we're working towards something and we start to give you a push, we'll get you there. You know, we'll make sure that you get taken care of or whatever. So give me your thoughts on that. I mean, everybody can't make $100, dude.
I just talked about this yesterday. Here we go. It takes a lot to start a company, right?
Right.
So my first year or so, I would tell people ahead of time, I have this right now because I'm starting. This is what I can give. And they can say no, all right? But my problem was with these rookies. Let me tell you, my first couple matches I wrestled were free. Granted, the promoter was whack, but I was there to learn. And then came the $5, the $10, the $20, you know. These kids out the gate, I'm noticing a lot more kids, they have to skip that, and they're charging. Like, I've seen people I've never heard of. Like, not even – and I look at flyers, bro, just say I'm 50. I'll be like, wait, what? And I don't feel like people have paid enough dues. I'm going to, me personally, now, if you're a wrestling veteran and you're worth it, I'm going to pay your rate. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. But if you're barely coming out the gate, you're a couple months into a year, I have no problem with paying you the 20 to 25 to 30. Because I had to earn my way in, you know? If somebody's willing to charge you, and you're new, and somebody's willing to charge you what you ask for, I mean, go for it. I mean, that good. But, you know, but my problem, and I'm going to talk about this, I don't care, is apparently it got back to me within my first shows. A couple of rookies was like, don't work there. You know, you don't get paid enough. I was like, bro, you are 6 months in, you know.
Yeah.
You are 3 to 6 months in. Like, whoa. For all the fools out there, there's plenty of people that can vouch, now that I was able to save during quarantine and things like that, that they're paid their rate. But I refuse to pay a guy who's, I'm giving you a shot, I've never heard of you, you know.
Yeah.
I refuse to pay somebody 50, 60, 70 bucks, you know.
Yeah.
And then, it's just you have to pay dues. It's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Yeah, and if you're...
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and if you're a good worker, it'll come... I can give you two examples. That kid, Jack Cartwright, when I was working for RGR, I never heard of this kid. And I saw him wrestling, and I'm like, God dang, this kid, he's got talent. And they weren't paying him that much, but he kept growing and growing and growing, and now he's worth it. People are paying to see him, and he's been, like, doing the New Japan stuff that they have out here, whatever. But he didn't say, hey, man, I got to have $100 right off the top. He took a certain amount.
No.
Then people saw what he could do, and then he just continued from there.
He came down here, and he started at – I don't want to say anybody's, like, lower promotions or anything. I don't like that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, he started somewhere small, and – And then it took off. Your work will eventually speak for itself.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And you can kind of tell the people who really want it, you know, because let me tell you something, Sean, why you would want to get into the promoting business or whatever is beyond me, because just booking, you know, trying to put it together. And then I don't just book whatever I book. I'll tell Manny, hey, this is what I'm thinking or whatever. And he'll go like, yeah, dude, let's do it. I go, well, let's get this guy and let's see if we can get this guy and put this guy, whatever. So it takes a lot to put it together. But what people don't understand is they don't see the behind the scenes. But just like Biggie, he gets hurt. We got to put somebody else. Hey, man, let's get Sean in there. All right, cool. 2 days before the last show, I mean, two people backed out. So I got to get replacements from them on 2 days' notice. And there was three shows running on that day. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's hard to, you know, people don't understand how hard it is to put stuff together. And, you know, when you make a commitment, hopefully everybody stays there and stuff like that. So, you know, when you're doing all that, you're, what's the word I'm looking for? You're hoping these people cooperate and say, hey, look, man, I know it's last minute. So I personally have had to pay a little bit extra because I'm asking people to come last minute. You know, or I got some guys coming from Riverside or whatever, and I'm like, Manny, we got to give him a little bit more only because he's coming all the way from there or whatever. Okay, yeah, cool. So we'll work it out. So, you know, this is what people don't understand, yeah. Right?
Now, what I will say, as I'm this side, I'm going to back up the wrestlers. Now, if, as a promoter, you're supposed to build your business and build your money up, you are not supposed. I've been told as a businessman, you don't touch any money in your pocket until at least 2-3 years down the line. I still haven't. This year, it's about to be year three. You know, nothing has went in my pocket. Therefore, promoter, if you're past 4 or 5 years, you should not, like, out of the goodness of your heart, you should not be happy giving your roster $20 bills, man.
Yeah.
You're supposed to elevate eventually from that. You know, right now, the rookies, that's a different, like I said, it's a different ball game. But, you know, I feel sometimes promoters get too comfortable. And the more you, they're so about themselves, the more you, the more you build on your company and the more good review your pay, everywhere you go, anywhere you work, you get on the road or something, somebody asks, like, wrestlers will ask, like, oh, well, I heard you work for so-and-so. What's the PO? Do they pay you well? You know?
Yeah. Man, we get that all the time, too. And I'm like, dude, like, it's crazy because, like, I worked for Lucha Libre Alliance yesterday. That's Kayam and Enigma's promotion. And they have a fan base. I mean, there's, like, the people that are just – and come to every show, like Alondra Campos and Dali Escobar. I see them all the time over there. So they have a good fan base or whatever. But Guyam said, you know, that didn't happen overnight, dude. He goes, it took years, you know, to build up that fan base and people know your product and know, you know, if they come, they're going to see this and that or whatever. So you, the promoter has to work just as hard as the wrestler. So this is why we have this forum here so that people know, hey, man, we're not trying to say, hey, we want to be millionaires, so F you, we don't want to pay because we want to put all this money in our pocket. It doesn't happen. Hey, my two shows that I did at Metroplex that I did by myself, I lost $400 on one and almost $600 on the second because, the second time when I went out there and we promoted, we went all over the place, but when I walked down, you know, it's a long walk to get to the ring at Metroplex. When I came out and saw those white chairs, oh, dude, I almost started crying on my show. So
it's a scary feeling.
Like, oh, my God. So, you know, it's a fine line that we walk as, you know, a promoter or a booker or whatever. But what we want to do, what we could all agree on, is put out a good product. So people say, hey, man, did you go check out Amped Up? And they're like, yeah, I must tell you, dude, come down. I highly recommend that you go down and check it out because it was pretty cool. That's pretty much what we're all working towards, right?
That's what it's all about. We all got to step up. We had plenty of time to make wrestling better, you know, in during quarantine and to you know, whether you had beef with somebody, we had time to home train, we had time to get our bodies right, we had time to be better promoters. So it's no more excuses, like, you know, it's no more excuses, you know, and you know, like I said, we're in a wrestling boom time period again. So it's really time to step it up, you know.
Well, when there's three shows on one Sunday, it's that's a lot. people are and their yeah. people want to go see a show because it's been such a long time. But real quick for the people listening, don't forget, check out Sean Black. You can check him out October 1st to the 3rd at Unicon. It's at Versus Pro Studio in Las Vegas. You can check out his social media. He'll keep everybody up to date on that. And, of course, don't forget, it's the big United Wrestling Council show, the finals. It's going to be Sunday, November 21st at 2 p.m. at the new Metroflex Gym in Hawaiian Gardens. Hang on one second.
Tell Sean you got his tickets for UEW. We're
going to
see him at UEW.
Oh, Nicolette just told me that she purchased the tickets for UEW. So both her and I will be. What's the date on that?
October 9th.
Sean. October 9th. You booked on that, Sean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in that big title tournament. You know what I'm saying? It's going down. It's going down.
Well, we will be there. We will be there to check it out for sure. So we'll put that on the agenda, too. We'll make sure we check that out. We'll talk about it here on the show. So, hey, Sean, I appreciate you coming on, man. You know, it's good that we have a forum like this so people kind of get, you know, you don't want to pull the curtain back too much, but people got to know, man. You know, we're all working to try to make this sport better, you know. And as an older wrestler, I just want to see it just be a little bit more professional so people come out and go, man, I really enjoyed that show. And you can take the kids and everybody has a good time and goes home happy. I mean, that's what it's all about, right, John?
Yes, sir. That's what it's all about right there.
All right. Yeah. So, hey, well, I look forward to seeing you at the UEW show. And I definitely look forward to seeing you in the finals against La Flecha Fugaz and Gayam. So we'll talk to you then. All right, my man?
Can't wait to come back.
All right, everybody. Sean Black, make sure you check him out. We'll be right back after this. Sean Black, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about. Don't forget, for the people listeners, we'll go with Yards After Contact first. You got to check out Yards After Contact apparel, clothing brand, and of course, custom cornhole boards. Go to their Facebook page to check out some cool pics, especially the UWC custom cornhole boards, as well as UWC t-shirts and golf shirts modeled by our own owner and proprietor of UWC, Manny Pinson. Yards After Contact is your number one source for apparel and custom cornhole boards. Check it out and get yours today. Yards After Contact is a proud sponsor of UWC Radio, as well as Paul's Photo. Far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photos will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. I'm hoping we can get those Paul's Photos out there real quick. Can you unlock the door?
Yeah.
So that you guys can check them out. The ones that we took at the studio at his place were awesome.
Hello.
Hey, La Flecha Fugaz, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so very well. I got a lot of I got to talk to you about, but real quick before we do that, for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com for all the latest updates. We're trying to get those pictures uploaded from the last show that Paul's photo took, so we'll keep everybody posted on that. But on the line with me right now, I always get to have this guy on because I always like to pick this guy's brain when he's on here when we talk. La Flecha Fugaz. La Flecha Fugaz, how are you, my friend? I saw you at the last show, but then the show before that, I think it was for Lucha Libre Alliance or whatever, but you've still been working pretty steadily. I think you've been working more than most wrestlers, especially after the pandemic. How do you feel right about now?
I'm feeling great. You know, it's just like, you know, after the pandemic and everything, we shut it down, but we come back strong and everything, and a lot of promotions, so I can't complain, you know. Everything is going well.
Yeah, and it seems like it's booming now. Like, I guess because we took such a long time off that people want to definitely see a show, so a lot more people are coming out to check out the shows and all that. Now, I know you train at Hard Knocks out there, and you've been working. I got to tell you, man, I think Jesse does more shows than anybody. You know, I see him doing shows at, like, the Air Force Base and in the woods or something like that. He does a lot of shows. Has that been keeping you busy as well?
Yeah. I mean, actually, sometimes we have like 4, 5, 6 shows in a month, yeah. And most of them over there in the San Bernardino area. I mean, it's very amazing how the crowd responds to the events, and I think that they were like very hungry to watch some wrestling, you know. So, I mean, thank God it's been doing real good.
Yeah, and it's funny because, well, we'll talk a little bit about this later because I want to get a couple of your opinions on this. But, you know, I worked for Gayam and Enigma yesterday at Lucha Libre Alliance. And we went out, you know, we did the match and everything. And as I was, because it was a six-man, so as I was outside the ropes looking around, I'm like, man, these are a lot of the people that I see come to almost every show. There's a lot of people that come, and when I went back and all that, we were talking, and I go, hey, man, I go, you guys have a good fan base here. I go, like, there's a lot of people here that I see all the time. Well, let's put it this way. I was at Leonardo's. I went to go see Taya Valkyrie against Fabi Apache. I wanted to see that match. I went to Leonardo's to go check that out. And there was, like, 3 people who came up to me and said, hey, are you going to be at Lucha Libre Alliance? And I'm like, yeah. And a couple said, oh, cool, we're going to be there. So they were even at that show asking about that. And Enigma goes, and it was either Gayam or Enigma. I think it was Enigma. And he goes, hey, man, it doesn't happen overnight, though, man. He goes, it takes years to build up that fan base. So real quick before we talk about getting to the finals, is that what it is? You know, people come – this is my take on it. I think they come and they see the show and they go, hey, man, this show was really good. So they went home happy to where they want to come back to the next show. You know what I mean? Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I know a couple of people, they're like a good supporters, you know, from the indie wrestling. And – I mean, like, they always, it doesn't matter. They follow you to Laguna Beach. They follow you to L.A., to San Bernardino, to, like you said, Leonardo's. I mean, there is a real good crowd. I mean, they're so loyal to Lucha Libre. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I see them, and then I don't want to pull the curtain back too much, but I want to go up to him and go, hey, man, you know, I really appreciate you guys coming or whatever. But, you know, that's not till after the show, and then I'm usually out of there because I got to go to work the next day. But it was just – that was, like, really the first time that I noticed it. So we talked a little bit about that. But real quick for the people, listeners, you know, I don't want to say that there was any favorites or whatever, but when Manny and I first sat down and put this together, you know, because I worked, I trained with Pistol Pete way back in the day at Gil's Garage, and Manny trained with them too, and, you know, paying my dues, you know, have to go all the way to Indio and put up the ring and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way Pete was, man. I mean, and it's weird, man, because I like never went against his word or anything, you know, because I don't want to say I was scared, but I was young in the business, and, like, you know, he was a veterano, so I was like, you know, did whatever he said, and Manny was the same way. So when all this came about and Manny bought out the company, he said, hey, you know, I'd really like to pay tribute to Pete, you know, and all that. And I said, man, I think if we had a tag team tournament and got, you know, mixed it up and had some guys that really don't wrestle each other that much or whatever, just people would say, wow, I'd like to see these guys against these guys. You know, so it blossomed into what it is today. And I don't want to say we had favorites, but I said, look, man, Guyam and Fugaz have been going at it for a long time. I said, but together, man, those guys are a team. You've got, you know, the size and you know, Fugaz is how strong as he is. And then, you know, there's nothing that Guyam has never seen because he's been doing it for so long and wrestled everybody. I think we should put them – absolutely, absolutely put those guys together. So people were like, man, these guys, you know – well, let's put it this way. When Drew McIntyre and Cuisital Coatele, I hope I didn't butcher that name, when they made it to the finals, people were like, I can't believe they made it to the finals, you know. But when they went up against you guys, they said, man, if they can beat – those guys, that's it. They're going to take the whole thing. But, you know, you guys were way too much for them or whatever. So now what I'm getting in the emails and stuff like that is, hey, man, to see those guys against Tony Reyes and Sean Black, that's going to be a match. They said, well, first, like people would, hey, do you have to reconstruct the ring because there's the size of those guys that are in there? You know, like silly questions like that. So I know you're confident, but, you know, you're just like, hey, man, we're going all the way. We don't care who we're going up against. We're ready for anybody. You don't worry about them. You just worry about yourself, you know?
Right. You know that me and Guyam, we were talking about it and everything. I mean, it's going to be a hard, but, I mean, we have the experience and we have the discipline. So I always believe that discipline beats talent. I mean, Tony Reyes is a real, real strong guy, but I don't know. Somehow we're going to be around it, and me and Guyam, we are so confident, but anything can happen. You know, anything can happen. But I don't know. I just feel like I was something for the family, the Pistol Pete. You know, it's just like I was talking with his daughter at last show. And she said, like, do you know my dad? I didn't, but you know what? I want to thank to him to build the road so we can walk. The rest of now we can walk. And I know that he's in heaven, and he will be so proud, the world, because we're going to leave our souls in the ring to achieve our goal. And she was like a broken tears. I said, you know what?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for all the hard work, the Pistol Pete. So the only thing that we can do is, I mean, we got to venerate his memory, you know, and we won't do it.
I
promise
agree.
But
real quick for the people listening, don't forget, it's all set. We got a lot of the stuff finalized in the last couple of days. Manny's been making a concerted. He goes, hey, I got to make sure I get the date for this because people are going to be looking forward to it. So it's going to be UWC Presents the Finals. It's Sunday, November 21st at 2 p.m. at the new Metroplex Gym in Hawaiian Gardens, not too far from the other place for the finals, for the trophy and everything. It's going to be La Flecha Fugaz and Guyam versus Tony Reyes and Sean Black. Now, after you guys it was funny because I had to – put the first the semifinalists in the first match because two of them had to go to Pico Rivera or wherever afterwards. So they said, hey, can we please, man, you know, can we? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So they, first of all, people didn't think that Vito and Robbie Phoenix, they thought that they were the favorites. They were saying, no, that's going to be the finals or whatever. But Tony Reyes and Sean Black ended up beating them. So I said, hey, can you guys stick around? I said, because whoever wins the other semifinal, I want to make sure we get a picture with the trophy and all that. Oh, you can't, no problem. So when it was all over, you guys were all up there taking the pictures and stuff like that. And I could hear you guys kind of going back and forth or whatever. You know, yeah, we know you guys were going to take it because we got the experience. Oh, you guys got something coming, whatever. But then when I was talking to you, you know, I said, hey, man, you know, those are some big dudes, man. I said, that Tony Reyes, when I asked him, he goes, well, I'm pushing 4 bills, which means he's close to 400 pounds. And you go, you know what? I'll get that dude up. I will get him. And I'm like power press over your head? Well, I don't know about that, but I will get him up. And he's going to see. He's going to be in for a big surprise or whatever. So
I told him when I shake his hand, I said, you know what, Tony? I've been waiting 10 years because I know it's 10 years ago. I said, finally, we're going to meet on the ring, just bringing all your game together. But that is not going to be a match. That's going to be a war. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it just keeps progressively. I mean, we just barely got the date a couple of days ago when I started putting everything out there. And then Manny secured the venue and got everything going. He, matter of fact, he was there today because he wants to shoot some promos and stuff over there. So he called me and he says, hey, you know, because Mando Guerrero, you know, who's brothers with Chavo and Eddie Guerrero, Mando and Pistol Pete were married for a while. They did shows all over, you know, like Pomona and Bakersfield and all that back in the distance. We're talking late 80s, early 90s. You know, they did a lot of stuff together. So when you heard, Manny said, hey, you know, I talked to Mando, and Mando said, hey, I would really like to be a part of this, so I would like to present the trophy with Pete Jr. to whoever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're like, absolutely,
what
man.
An
come
honor,
on.
Honor, man. What an honor.
So that's how much the word's getting out and how big it, you know, it started to get or whatever. So, you know, we're like, absolutely, man, come down and check it out. So that's been announced. That goes without saying, the main event for the first annual Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team title. And then we're working on the other matches, you know, from there. So we're definitely, it's only been barely announced and the buzz is already out there. People want to see that match and they're looking forward to it. And that's what it's all about, man. So we see the whole thing. And it was funny because I had Sean Black in the first segment or whatever. And we all said the same thing. We said, hey man, we're going to come, we're going to bring 100% because whoever wins that tournament and that trophy, we want the people to say, hey man, that, you know, those guys, you could tell they put in 100% and they came and they were serious and they all both put in a concerted effort, you know, to win this or whatever. And that's what it's all about, man. We just want the people to go home happy, you know.
That's it. That's the most important thing about the people. They walked out the good case, and like I said, me and Kayam, we talk about it, and we're gonna leave our souls in the ring. And like I say, anything can happen. But 100% on my mind, I'm going with the destruction mind. So there's not gonna be no room for weakness.
And that's how Kayam was yesterday. He goes, man, I'm not gonna walk around and be like, oh yeah, we got this in the bag or whatever. He goes, you know, if I had that attitude, I would never be anywhere. He goes, you got to take everybody serious. Everybody's gunning for the same thing or whatever. He goes, that's why I train every day and whatever. And he said, and to put you over, he's like, when I got a partner like Fletcher Fugaz, it's gonna take a lot to beat us or whatever. And I'm like, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
So it went really well, but. Real quick, you know, I got to take a quick break. Can you hang on for just a second, just like 30 seconds, and I got a couple of more questions to ask you. Can you hang on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
sir.
Okay. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back with La Flecha Fugaz right after this. I got a couple of more things I want to ask him. So hang on, everybody. It's funny because I have to take a quick break to reset everything, but we're back here live at UWC Radio. Usually we're on Sundays, but we had to do a special Monday edition because I was working for Lucha Libre Alliance yesterday, so we had to do the show today. But I got La Flecha Fugaz on with me, talking a little bit about the big tournament that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So we're really making that concerted effort to make it huge because this is the end-all to be-all. That's what Manny said. This is going to be the end-all to be-all, so make sure you're there. But real quick, this is a little, you know, we have stuff that we want to talk about because I get a lot of slack. You know, I do a couple other podcasts for some different, like Lucha Central and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm telling you, man, not just because I'm an older wrestler or whatever, but I catch a lot of slack for some of the things I say. First thing, this is the first thing that I catch a lot of slack about. And I usually go to Enigma because, you know, he's been around and knows there's nothing he hasn't seen. So I always talk to him and go, hey, am I wrong or whatever? But we talk about it. But here's one of the first things, you know, I'm kind of torn, man, because I feel I get happy when I see guys like Garza and Humberto Carrillo and Gran Metalik, you know, people like that who've worked in Mexico, and then they get to WWE, where I'm glad because, you know, they're making money. They're going to be able to take care of their family, and they're going to be able to buy a house or whatever. But they just bury them. You know, they don't know how to use them.
Yeah.
They
That's
just,
correct.
They're sitting. Well, a good, which is a good example, is Andrade. You know, he was just spinning his wheels. But once he got out of there, he's all over the place now. And it's the one. So give me your thoughts on that. I mean, do you think they need somebody in WWE? And the only one that comes to mind, only because he's done it before, is somebody like a Conan who knows the luchas and knows the American and says, hey, look, man, if you put these guys together, it's going to be a show. So do you think they need somebody like that, or they just don't know what they're doing?
I think that they do it just because they're like excellent wrestlers, but it's just like Andrade. He is the guy that he is the go guy. I mean, and
yeah.
I feel, on my personal opinion, that in WWE they're slowing down a lot. I mean, on his style and everything. I mean, that guy is excellent. I mean, they got all these guys, and of course, you know, that's everybody's dream. Like, oh my God, I got signed by WWE, so and now we're talking about cash and everything. But they bury their career. And
yeah.
I feel like they barely use it. I just saw in YouTube, in the Mas Lucha, they said the Grand Metal League, he asking for release.
Yeah.
And I mean, Grand Metal League in the New Japan and all those circuits, he's the excellent guy. I mean, it's just like I don't think that the WWE is ready for these guys
mm-hmm.
in the point like, okay, high flying maneuvers, the speed and everything.
Yeah.
I mean with NXT, yeah, I believe. I mean those guys they have them because they're like in the welterweight division. But
yeah.
I mean I think like it's good thing that they got signed. They see what is out there, but they got to move out because there's not like a TV time for these guys. That's my opinion.
Well, when Grand Metalik was working in CMLL. They have a big where the New Japan takes them out there for 2 weeks, and they do all the different cities, and it's, you know, the sometimes they put them against each other, but most of them they'll mix them with the New Japan guys. So when he went out there the last time before he got signed, when the 2 weeks were over, they kept three people. They kept him and I think Místico and somebody else. So when New Japan says, hey man, everybody's going back home, but we'd like you to stay for two more weeks. That's saying something. You know what I mean? That's
right.
Because that's the,
yeah.
that's the top of the food chain out there, you know? So when they ask you to stay a little bit longer, you know, that you're a good worker or whatever. And it's the same with El Hijo de Fantasma. When he first came in,
exactly.
he was on fire. And then now they just kind of just start dropping them down. And I just think they just don't know what to do with them or whatever. So like I said, on one hand, I'm glad that they're there and they're making the money and stuff like that. But then it's just, you know, I think once they get there, that's the feeling. And then after a while, they're like, dude, what am I doing here? I gotta get out there while I'm – because there is a small window for you to work. Because
yeah.
like me,
yeah.
as old as I am, dude, my knees are killing me, and there's only so much you can do, you know, for a while. So you got to get it while you can. So I kind of get that. But I just hate to see guys like that kind of get wasted. But then it's not like they don't have the talent. I mean, if you were to put Andrade when he was in there against, like, Nakamura – or somebody who they've wrestled before in New Japan, man, they'd tear the roof off that place. But I just don't
yeah.
know why they don't pull the trigger. I don't know why they don't have somebody who would.
You know what?
I watched
that interview with Andrade, and mm-hmm. actually he told his dad, that his father, he was a pro wrestler too. He told him, say, you know
mm-hmm.
what? I feel like I'm bringing my ideas to the WWE department, but they don't see nothing happen. Even his father told him, you're not a three. You're not
yeah.
free. That means like you're not born there. You're not stable over there. Get the hell out. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
That's why he said, you know what? I got to move out. And that was good
yeah.
result because now Andrade is one of the most value guys in the industry. You know, whatever
yeah.
he present, I mean, he's doing real good and excellent. So probably they need to step out of the comfort zone so they can
yeah.
they can grow, you know?
And it's kind of good that he went to a company like that where he's allowed to, in his contract, to work, you know, different places. He's been able to go work a few AAA shows or you know, expand or whatever because people
yeah.
want to see him, you know. So it worked out to his
yeah.
benefit. That's why even like Ring of Honor, a lot of like Flamita and Rey Horus and people like that are working out there because they can still keep their dates, you know, at other places. So
exactly.
It just benefits them. So I
no,
agree.
And they
I
and
agree.
They have the freedom. They have the freedom to perform as they
yeah.
know and as they want to. So I mean, Ring of Honor is one of the things. Like you said, you know what? You speed guy. I'm gonna find you some opponents that they can match
yeah.
you. So that's a real good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's, you know, I work a little too hard for my money. So if I'm gonna buy a pay per view, it has to be worth it. But when I bought Ring of Honor, when it's at like Bandido, Flamita, Rey Horus, Los Ingobernables, it you know, it's worth it, man. I'm like, man, when it goes off, I was like, that was a good pay per view. You know, those guys are gonna deliver. You know what I mean? So it just is
That's
a shame
correct.
That it can't happen in the big show, you know. But now they got some competition with AEW. So, you know, we'll see what happens, you know. I mean, I think WWE is always going to be number one. That's why everybody's in line or whatever. But now you personally, real quick, because I'm running up against the clock, have you ever been to a house show for WWE, just not Raw or SmackDown, just a regular house show for WWE?
No, I haven't, but I mean, I have one time I experienced, I was like wrestling in Houston, Texas a couple of years ago, and
yeah.
that was a WWE show. So I went at it, and I tell you what, that's the most spectacular entertainment show I ever seen in my eyes. But if you ask me about quality, I will definitely go for zero right there. Because
yeah.
this early entertainment, and as a pro wrestler, I would like to go toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
I would like to see two people go at it, you know? I mean,
yeah.
that's just me, you know?
Well, that's because your daughter's young. When they get to be, like, when my daughter was maybe in her early, or like 18, 19, she's like, hey, I want to go check out this house show, whatever. So we go, and I would be like, man, I'm telling you, everywhere you look, you just see all the kids, John Cena, T-shirt, hat, wristbands, belt. I mean,
yeah.
that's all you see. Just the speed of it. And I was amazed. I was like, man, this is – so I went to look it up, and I think he made $7 million 1 year just in merchandise. And I was like, man,
yeah,
that
the marketing
is amazing.
It's excellent. I'm sure the people that is in charge of the marketing, I mean, they're welcome to WWE because they produce
yeah.
good money to the company.
Yeah, but you make a good point. I mean, a lot of it is more driven towards entertainment, you know, than it is wrestling. So maybe that's the mindset, and they could care less. They just want to, you know, get it out there and make that money or whatever, which kind of waters down the product.
Yeah.
But you know, hey man, you're in the United States of America. You're free to go wherever you want. If you don't want to go there, but let me tell you something. I've been to two New Japan shows when they were here at the Cal State Long Beach, and that is far and away the best wrestling I've ever seen. I mean, my daughter and I went to the first two that they had, because the other one was at the sports arena. But man, I was like, man, these guys. And let me tell you something, the, you know, they do it right. The first, you know, the young boys, when they go and they train, when they do that, we saw them come out, and before they can go into the big show or whatever, they're only allowed to wear the black trunks with the black shoes. That's it. No
That's
gimmick,
correct.
No character. And then when the trainer says, okay, now you're ready, then they could do a gimmick or whatever. I'm like, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's why they're so successful, you know? So it's just amazing, you know, how different it is. But anyways, hey, I got to tell you, man, having La Flecha Fugaz on, always a pleasure, man. I always like to pick his brain on
thank
things
you, thank
like that
you,
because that's what wrestlers do. We talk in the back, hey, man, we did this and that or whatever. So we definitely appreciate you coming on and look forward, man, to the big finals. So for the people with us, don't forget, UWEC presents the finals. It's Sunday, November 21st. It's at 2 p.m. It's going to be at the new Metroplex Gym. in, I'm sorry, Metroflex Gym in Hawaiian Gardens. We'll keep everybody posted as we put together the card. But, of course, the main event is going to be Guillem and La Flecha Fugaz versus Tony Reyes and Sean Black. And that's for all the marbles, man. Mondo Guerrero is going to come out with Pistol Pete and present that trophy. So we definitely look forward to that. So, Fugaz, I don't even have to tell you, man. I know you're training all the time. You're training over there at Hard Knocks and you're always ready. That's why we have you. That's why you are, you know, as good as you are today, because what you put into it what you're going to get out of it, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, like I said, I'm putting my 150% because I know Tony Reyes and the other guy, they're going to be, like, ready. But, I mean, the hungriest bull is the one that he's going to win the fight. So, me and Kajan, we got it. We're confident, and we're going to destroy, and then we're going to celebrate, and we're going to bring honor the
It's definitely going to be huge, and the family is most appreciative, man. They see how much is put into it, and you know how much the wrestlers put into it, so it all works out. But hey, La Flecha Fugaz, I appreciate you coming on. We'll see you real soon. We'll keep everybody up to date as we progress, and we definitely look forward to that big main event. So I'll talk to you soon. All right, my friend.
Well, thank you, Fabi, and thanks for all your audience, and we want to see there. Remember, guys. TikTok. The time is on. Thank you so much, Fabi.
Absolutely. We'll be right back to wrap it up after this. La Flecha Fugaz, everybody. Make sure you check them out. Big thanks to Fletcher Fugaz for coming on. I'm telling you, man, people are pumped. Just, you know, I had Sean Black on today and I had La Flecha Fugaz on today. You know, you could tell they're both really, you know, putting in the effort, man, because it's huge. And just, you know, adding Mondo Guerrero to come help, to come and present the trophy with Pistol Pete Jr. and all his family is going to be there. It's just making it that much more where people are going to train harder and get themselves ready. So we'll definitely have Guillem and Tony Reyes on next week. People work on Monday, so you have to be, you know, kind of selective. So Sunday, which is our usual time, we'll make sure we get them on so we can get their thoughts. And as we progress and get towards that big show, we'll just keep going. As we put the card together, we'll start getting some of those guys on. And, you know, just really, really, this is the end all to be all, man. It's going to be the big go home. So we got to make sure we do it right. So big thanks to Sean Black for coming on. And, of course, La Flecha Fugaz. And, of course, our sponsors, Paul's Photo. Don't forget to make sure to check them out, as well as Yards After Contact. We'll keep everybody up to date. We'll be back at a regular time on Sunday next week, and we'll get those guys on so we can get their thoughts, and we'll just keep going from there. So for all of us from United Wrestling Council, we appreciate you listening to us on a Monday, and we'll make sure we check everybody out next Sunday for the big show. All right, everybody. We'll see you then.